Hey everybody, welcome one and all to the goddamn Planet Destiny podcast, episode number 114. I am your one and only ruler of everything host Fallout Plays, joined by the glorious bearded Mega Magwitch, the Black Link, and everybody's favorite guy from across the ocean, Story Mephorshine.
Yes.
How the hell are you?
Nice.
Fucking great now that I'm the only one who's glorious this week. Get on the level, pleb. This is why, I sent Fallout the $5 in PayPal. I wanted a better introduction.
You fucking worth every penny, am I right?
Pay him for anything. He'll do anything for $5, I promise you.
Confirmed. I was going to say, is that the point that we're at where we're selling $5 Fallout plays, Fallout Frizzle, Magic School Bus rides to the lighthouse?
Yes, exactly.
Yep. Bones unfortunately can't make it this evening. He's at hobnobbing with the likes of Bungie elites, isn't he?
Are we allowed to say who?
It's a lot of instruction. He was just he's off the 80th week.
He's dead.
He's off doing his normal thing and, you know, shilling, being a Bungie shill and just doing, you know,
he's not
just
dead.
Doing
not
whatever dead. They want. Yeah, he's fine.
No, but yeah, Bones is out schmoozing with important people who I guess we'll get to talk to you guys about when he comes back, you know, because he's special and famous and crap like that.
Yeah.
Well,
that guy.
We could probably let the cat out of the bag that us five from the PD podcast might actually be integrated as Destiny 2 villains.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's that.
We are the raid bosses for the first raid of Destiny 2.
Which is the first raid boss, D2.
Yes.
It's a really disappointing and very easy raid if it starts with me. That first encounter was stupid.
Yes.
I took a peek at your raid mechanics. You have a very frustrating RNG ability to just ignore all mechanics and chase your fire team around.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yes.
And when I get enraged, I actually delete your copy of Destiny. That's a fun fact. Just wipe. It just gets rid of the whole game. You got to re-download it and everything. It's great. It's my special ability.
I think that's what we should start with. What is everybody's raid boss thing? You know, we've already screwed things with Bones. Let's talk about what our raid boss abilities are, since we're all apparently raid bosses in Destiny 2. Story before Sheen. What is your big thing?
My big thing. Can I say chocolate?
Just sure.
Yeah, I don't.
Well, I don't see why not.
He is death by chocolate incarnate. That's all.
Exactly. But we have got lots to talk about though today, which is good because the last and final reveal stream that we had earlier on in the week was rampacked with pretty much excitement and
excited
juice, wasn't it?
Yeah.
A lot of juice.
That's a way to put it.
There was juice.
We're talking about the sandbox live stream we got on Wednesday from Bungo, and it was basically just a fashion show, wasn't it?
It was like a 50-minute fashion show. But I watched every minute of it.
I understand every fashion show that my wife has ever watched. I'm like, okay, I get it. This is what it's the same to her. So, oh my god, that's gonna look great on me. Ooh, I really hope I can get that.
Entertaining, though.
It did what I wanted it to do. It showed me all of the new raid gear and basically affirmed the fact that I need to get that Crota Zen stuff, right this minute, because that armor looks freaking cool, man.
Yeah, man. Whoa. I love King's Fall. I literally fell apart. The Warlock King's Fall stuff, man, I really like that. The look of that.
The one with the blue glow?
The helmet, man. Yeah. I think I'd use the helmet from King's Fall and then a mishmash of the other raid gear for the gloves and chest piece and booties and stuff. Vault of glass boots. Why not have legs of the Vex?
Right?
Yeah.
Why not?
Turn our guardian into the 6 million glimmer guardian there. We can rebuild him. We have the technology to put a Vex leg on a human being or a robot or a Woken who can self-revive. Whatever.
I just feel like that whole stream was designed for me because so many juices immediately were flowing while watching that video, let me tell you, in all the right places. I think I would have to say From my own personal taste, I kind of agree. I really like the King's Fall helmet for hunters, just because it's got like a mohawk kind of vibe on it. Yeah. As a hunter, that was my favorite one of that. But if I were going to go for the best armor piece of all of them, it's actually, I really like the Wrath of the Machine Titan helmet, because it's just got that big stupid glow on the back of it. It's you look like a cone head, and I think it's really funny. Dumb looking. I really want it. I'm not gonna lie.
Have you got your eye on any particular gear?
I mean, it all looked really cool. Like, I think the Crota one got me the most. I think everyone in the Twitch chat went crazy when they were like, hey, watch this. And like, they shot them and the health went down. And then the horns like grew back. And I was like, oh my god. Yeah.
I think it feels like the Age of Triumph is basically the we really want to make Crota cool event. Like, they made it like the coolest looking armor. They're making it the very first like raid that comes out day of. They enhanced it to make it run better. They're like, let's save Crota's End. That's their goal right now. They really want us to like it.
But aren't we having Crota's End first?
Yeah, exactly.
It'll be live on Tuesday.
I'm excited for it too. Like,
I mean. Also, we know all the raid gear has ornaments. We know the ornaments have, like, these crazy light-up effects. And, yeah, you know, when they showed off when you're wearing the Crota's End gear and you have, like, the spikes on your shoulders and the horns and whatnot. When you take damage, those ornaments go down, and then as your health regens, they slowly grow back, which is awesome. And that's an effect that's basically going to be present on all of the raid gear. We got to see it on the King's Fall set where, like you were saying, story before Sheen, where your face is all lit up with, like, the white kind of auric glow, and then you take damage and it darkens and slowly just lights back up. That's such a simple effect, but it's a freaking cool ability,
it's
man.
It's a nice detail to have on it.
It's a nice bit of detail.
It makes the armor really unique to Destiny, and thus all the more desirable to people like us who have to have it all.
I'm wondering, though, if you only get that effect if you've got the ornament applied.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Probably.
Oh. Because well, the what is it, Vault of Glass armor without the ornaments looks like the standard Vault of Glass armor.
And I'm happy about that, so, as you know.
Yeah, I'm glad they give us that option to have basically year three versions of the year one aesthetics.
Very
cool.
Yes. A lot of good things in that stream.
All the choices is better than some of the choices, isn't it? Really?
Yes, it is.
But that's not... Yeah, I mean, where to begin, really? Armor, yes. Weapons...
Yes, weapons in the raid weapons too in the stream were pretty. I like how they handled primaries. I'll say that much.
The elemental damage, because there was someone, I don't know who it was, some naysaying doom bringer was saying that elemental primaries weren't coming back. I don't know. I might have been paying attention to the wrong. I might have mixed up the wrong crowd. But just before the stream, elemental primers are not coming back. They're not going to do it, blah, blah, blah. And they did.
There were a lot of people saying that, man.
Yeah. And that kind of worried me because I thought, well, you know, for sending the Destiny 1 off with a bang, especially for PvE, elemental primaries coming back would be Trey fun. So I'm glad that they've handled it in not just a blanket, okay, all primaries are going to be elemental. We've now got these exotic slash adept versions, which are earnable via the weekly challenges. Isn't it?
Yeah, you know, you and I had a conversation about this story over the week, and, you know, we came from two separate places, but we kind of agreed that what this is basically offering is choice.
Yeah.
Back in year one, when you had elemental primaries, they were all generally legendary weapons outside of like Necrochasm and the Vex Mythoclast. And, you know, we agreed that it pretty much over-centralized the PvE loadout. I mean, everybody, once they got it, they were just running Fatebringer, Blackhammer, Yallerhorn. It was the optimal loadout, and there was really no reason to run anything else. And certainly that was the big reason for why Bungie took away elemental primaries in the first place. So with them bringing them back into the sandbox now, I guess exotics were really, it was one of the only ways they could go with it, because they didn't want to just bring back Fatebringer and bring back Vision of Confluence and have those guns work the exact same way they did in year one, because the same thing would happen. You would just whip out your Fatebringer for every bit of PvE or whip out your Vision of Confluence. So I'm definitely glad to see elemental primaries back. I'm still kind of iffy on the whole making them exotic thing because, I don't know, just some part of that still just feels weird to me, but I understand why they did it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it forces you to make a choice. If you want to have that elemental primary effect, you got to give up an exotic slot for it. I think that's a fair change.
Yeah. And being a specials and heavies have got burns anyway. You can still have a rainbow burn for nightfalls and strikes and things like that. And as well, like, you don't have, I think the really nifty thing is you don't have to waste an exotic slot in PvP. You can just, if you want to use something like Fatebringer or any of the other raid primaries, you can just have the bog standard legendary version and away you go.
Which they made a point of. They said, if you want to run Fatebringer in PvP, you can run the non-elemental legendary version of it. And if you want to run it in PvE and you want that arc damage, you can swap over to the exotic variant, the adept variant, which you can get from the weekly featured raid. So it's all about choice. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy they gave us the choice to have those weapons back in a manner that's close to their original form. You know, you just have to sacrifice an exotic slot for it now.
Yeah.
That's fair. Fatebringer was worth an exotic slot.
Yes.
Perfectly honest.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's fair for balance, and it helps make it seem so that something like the Zalo isn't just kind of an afterthought now, because if there's if there are legendary elemental primaries now, like Zalo really loses any of its its cachet, we'll say. Yeah.
Is there anything in particular that you're going to go for here? Has anyone got their eyes set on anything other than Fatebringer as a
Vision of Confluence? That's me.
Yeah.
I love Vision of Confluence in PvE. That's like one of my favorite guns to use. And I look forward to being able to do some nightfalls with it and such with some elemental damage. I'm a big fan.
How about you, TB?
Yay.
Vision, that was the original full auto scout, right? That was the scout rifle that had it before full auto made it into the perk pool for scouts, which was fantastic. Okay, since I can't say Fatebringer,
hides his Fatebringer tattoo and cover
that up over here. Well, I mean, there's a lot of choices now because basically every single raid primary is going to have an adept or elemental version of it now. We can get an elemental adept version of the Fever and Remedy, which is a hand cannon that I've really come to enjoy. The Genesis Chain, we're getting I think it's a solar variant of that gun. And Genesis Chain is a super fun weapon to play around with.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, you know, I'm going to go with Genesis Chain because I really enjoy using that auto rifle.
That's actually really interesting. I am excited about getting elements on guns that didn't have them. I didn't even think about that.
King's Fall and Wrath. Those guns are getting elements.
I'm going to use all those King's Fall primaries.
I don't know, man. There's so much. I don't really care. I'm just going to roll the dice and see what happens. I'm just going to roll in, and then whatever they give me, I'll just take it.
I thought you just said Fever and Remedy. You know, being a hand cannon gentleman.
Maybe
with a burn on it.
I'm just excited for everything. It's all really cool. I'm just glad that we're getting all this stuff. I feel like the community is going to be pretty happy going back into the raids and doing these challenges all over again. Like, just, I don't know. It's like that hype for new stuff, new gear, new everything. I don't know. It's cool.
And the nostalgia as well, which I think is, for me, that's really hit the spot for the send-off for Destiny 1, is instead of trying to think of a new DLC with new stuff to do, we're going back and having all our old raids brought back into current line. Some people think that's lazy and that, you know, that it hasn't really hit the spot for the last and final send-off, but for me, it really has. I'd prefer that trip. To be fair,
I think it's a good balance, especially with some indicated leaks that there may have been over there.
Well, we have to talk about that. Don't we?
I don't know what you could be referring to, Megan.
I don't know. Never happened.
I mean, is that where we're going here? I mean, well, shoot, let's just go ahead and dive on in.
We had
a bit of a Destiny 2 leak this week, didn't we, boys? I think it was on Wednesday, early Wednesday morning. We had apparently an Italian GameStop leaked a poster for Destiny 2, which gave us a little bit of information about the game. First and foremost, the release date is apparently, like we said on this show, September 8th.
Yep.
Got it, boys.
Yeah.
And we're going to be getting apparently a beta sometime in the summer, which...
I just know they're gonna drop that beta. They're gonna end up dropping it during Guardian Con, yeah. and it's just gonna be everybody at Guardian Con, like rushing home, hotel rooms, trying to play.
I am super skeptical of this Destiny 2 leak stuff because obviously I have no idea. I'm just, you know, my brain isn't bigger than anyone else's. It's in fact, it's plenty times smaller. But here's my reasoning behind being super skeptical. An Italian GameStop. Why the EU always gets things like way late than the US. So why hasn't the leak come from?
That's why it's perfect though, because totally out of left field. Who would expect it? Italy, exactly. Nobody would trust the Italians
this far in advance? Surely that's begging for a leak. But I know most leaks are begged for. They're actually planned.
Yeah,
you know, to create hype. True. You know, for stuff. So,
saying is Bungie gave it to the Italians because they knew you'd be skeptical, but it'd be enough to generate hype.
Scooby-Doo. It's
that story. Do you think people would do that? Go on the internet, tell lies? You think someone would do something like that?
Why would anyone
absolutely not. But the other thing as well is that poster, the artwork, while it's good, and whoever did the artwork, that's good artwork, but that is the release poster, like the first piece of artwork that we see for D2. I'm really confused because that doesn't wow my face, to be honest.
It's not enough of a little, but it doesn't have that teaser chill effect that you kind of want. I'll give you that.
It looks like a slightly upgraded version of the year one art, and that for me just seems anti-Bungie.
I feel so bad for the fact that the poster's real and the Bungie guy who made it is listening to this right now. I've heard that complaint a lot.
But people are like, it's not real because the art doesn't look that good. And like they're breaking it down. It's like, who would draw? Like, that's bad art. And then you just know that there's somebody in the Bungie design team. Like,
I don't think that. But what's
wrong with
this? It's not bad art.
It's just as a first look into the world of Destiny 2. I'd imagine that Bungie would pick something that had much more of an impressive wow factor than that. Yeah. You know, that just looks like, I don't know. Like someone said, it's got remarkable similarities to Call of Duty, and the positioning of the central character in the artwork, it does look very similar to some previous Call of Duty arts. Like, it's kind of, when you're holding guns and stuff, things do repeat and all that kind of thing. But I think the fundamental thing here is that if, as Destiny 2 art would go, if I can just imagine Bungie picking something way more, you know, impressive than that kind of. And the fact that the 2 is completely off-center to the logo, not in a rule of thirds, like a golden ratio kind of off-center, is in a fucked up, I don't know how to do layouts kind of off-center. You know, I'm not buying it, man. I'm really not buying it.
My only reason to not question it much is just that, you know, certain people from like Kotaku have been like, yeah, that shit is, that's the right day, like
Link
fished this out when we had that conversation. It's like, oh, you know, just that was a simple deduction trying to get a date like September the 8th.
Yeah, you know. true it is,
and here's
game
here's
posters
my
advertise
here.
All formats, PC, Xbox, and PlayStation, and there was all like that on the poster. If that was a legit poster, I saw a different poster that had Xbox
and one that had PlayStation.
There was the usual exclusive content on get it first on PlayStation up in the corner of that poster as well, which is usual for Destiny posters. What were you going to say, Fallout?
I was going to say, okay, my personal rule of thumb, I've had this for years. Nothing is confirmed until it's confirmed.
Yeah, obviously.
Always. We gotta be skeptical because, come on, how long is the list of like we've been fooled before? It's like it never ends, and I can't think of anything specific off the top of my head. But like, if I did research, like 5 minutes,
I can think.
Like, oh, yeah,
here's a great one. This is an old Smash Bros. On the Wii U one where a person legitimately made like a Rayman like on the character select screen video.
And Shovel Knight.
Yeah,
Shovel Knight
and it looked like, but like he had a video of him selecting the character even. Like he went to such great efforts to make a fake. So at this point, anything could be fake on the internet.
But that being said,
that seems like the Destiny Yes. It seems like the Destiny 2 time frame that we've all talked about. And for all we know, maybe that's some sort of weird thing where it was like a test poster. They had several posters or some shit.
Well, I mean,
like
it's just a promotional poster. It's not like, and it's probably just promoting the beta more than anything else. So I really wouldn't expect too much from it other than the standard. And you talk about, it looks a little bit too similar to Call of Duty. Do you remember the Destiny commercial trailers? Not the like story trailers that Bungie put out. The commercial trailers, so like the actual commercials that went on TV. They were straight up Call of Duty commercials. Mm. And, you know, you throw some AC/DC in the background and you just have crazy character action with live action stuff. That's all Activision. Activision handles most of the promotional work for this kind of stuff. So I'm not too surprised that it has a very Call of Duty-esque vibe. Mm. But yeah, I respect your skepticism, Story, because you have to be skeptical.
Yes.
Anytime any sort of thing comes out on the internet like this.
If it did turn out that that was the art and that was all legit, you know, fair enough.
Then great. Yeah.
Whatever.
It's cautious optimism.
Yeah. That's where I'm at, I would say. And that's just... The only reason I brought it up to begin with is because we were talking about this whole, we need... Some people complaining that there's not enough new content to satiate them in Age of Triumph. And all I'm saying is I don't necessarily need it when it seems like I'm going to get the newest of content
a new game in September.
Right around the corner, man.
I'm okay with retreading some nostalgia now.
I'm going to get really deep into I'm going to get really, really deep here. Really deep.
Hit me.
Okay. Here's why I think it's real, all right? Get ready.
All right, here we go.
Close the shades. Dim the lights down. Let's get crazy
for a
minute.
Because Steve sent you a DM that said, hey, Paul, check out this poster we sent to this Italian GameStop.
Now we're about to get a lesson from Fallout Frizzle.
Here we go. I feel like in the past with Bungie, when we've heard things and people are like tweeting like, oh, did you hear that? Like, I think Bungie's going to do whatever. And then someone from Bungie will be like, hey, you know, just... curb expectations or something, or like don't.
Yeah,
I'm paraphrasing. I don't know what they've said, but this has happened before.
Yeah,
where like rumors on Twitter going wild, and then Bungie will be like, "All right, just calm down. You know, just wait till you hear from us. You know, blah blah." And then so the poster came out, and then there was a tweet from who was it? Was it
Luke Smith?
Yeah, and like he didn't really acknowledge. He was just like, "Hmm." Yeah. And then later in the This Week at Bungie that was put out that day. It was at the very, very end, Deej had some comment like, that's all we're going to talk about right now. Were you expecting something else? One milestone at a time, Guardians. And I was like, dude, it's totally real. Like, come on. Like, because if it was fake, he would have been like, calm your tits. Don't
that's
be
exactly
listening.
What he
don't be
said.
Listening to people exactly talking by the water cooler. That's exactly what Deej would have said. 100%.
100%.
This is me being totally crazy.
Yeah.
Conspiracy theory fallout. We in there.
Mm-hmm. There it is. I like it. The conspiracy theory D fallout is all over for this. Whoa! Oh, it's a gun! I did the thing.
Okay. I think an important topic that we could cover in this podcast is the whole subject of the possibility of Destiny 2 coming to PC. Because this has ruffled the feathers of a few community members for various reasons and stuff like that. The thing I'd like to lead in with this, like, number one, we don't know. I am possibly the most skeptical. I don't know, but I do not think we're going to see a PC release of Destiny 2. I'd be very surprised if we did. I'd be very happy if we did, but very wary because, no offense to Activision, but they haven't released... much on PC in the last 10 years that's actually been a functional game to play. Yeah. All of the Call of Duties have had like a 4-week lifespan because of the amount of bugs and problems that are within the game. So, we've actually got a quote from a Call of Duty dev saying that we don't really care too much about PC releases because the popularity is right down
it's
at
too
the bottom.
Small. Yeah.
And you'll recall there's a lot of people have tweeted, what platform would you play Destiny on? And just look at the amount that would pick PC. It's this tiny percentage. So would they spend all that money and putting a PC release out there? I don't know. But it's just, to me, it seems like really doubtful. But here's a message that I'd like to put towards folks that are really worried about if there is a PC release, about the PC gamers being better gamers. No. The PC gamers aren't better gamers than console gamers. You just have a different method of control. There was a tournament a while back, Titanfall 2 versus Titanfall tournament, Xbox players versus PC players. I think it was, I can't remember the exact results, but the Xbox players were pretty damn fucking good. Their positioning was great. You know, I don't think that there is this, if you're a PC gamer, you're automatically a higher breed of gamer. For one at all. I think that's, you know, for someone who's played PC for years and then come to console and played things like Trials, mm-hmm. and you're like, holy shit, these players are good. You know, these are like really good. It's like, I think that myth that PC gamers are the better the gamers, no. PC Master Race, no.
I've never understood that argument because I get when people say it's that people are a better shot on PC. Because it's an easier to aim thing. But everybody, in theory, has that same advantage. So the best players, if they adapted to controller or if they adapted to mouse and keyboard, they would be just as good. They've got the same reflex time, mm-hmm. and all things being equal, and the same best positioning and shit. It's not like you're magically better because you switch. Again, like, the two best players in the world, if they practice equally on controller and mouse and keyboard, I feel like they'd... fucking their battles would be pretty even on those consoles either way.
There's another thing that people misunderestimate and completely don't understand who haven't played with mouse and keyboards as well. Like, as a PC gamer, and bearing in mind I was fully PC before Destiny came on, the first thing that you do as a PC gamer when you play mouse and keys is you disable all mouse smoothing. Your mouse settings, your default settings, everything needs to be zeroed in. Yeah. So there is nothing that negatively impacts your aim. So I've seen a lot of Destiny players like streaming Overwatch on PC and stuff, and it takes them a while to realize, okay, these are the default things. These are the noob traps, like a noob trap number one, having a really high sensitivity, because I've got mouse and keys. I can have this crazy high sensitivity. But that's actually a real big negative. And most of the pro series gamers out there will have low sensitivity. It's not that that's the gospel thing. It's just that your aim is better on a low sensitivity and adjust to it. You have mouse mats. Here's my mouse mat from my PC gaming days. It's this big. It's massive. Because low sensitivity is a much more advantageous thing, as well as the Mark C mouse smoothing fixes and things like that. You get rid of all acceleration. There's a whole bunch of, like, a checklist of stuff that you will end up doing as a PC gamer, and that's very new to the console players.
Here's do you mind if I jump in here?
Go for it, man.
You're right. Jump right in.
I'm trying to, like, put my mind in the body of someone who would be hesitant for Destiny 2 to come to PC. Because, like, I'm kind of a little worried about it. Like, if it does come to PC and a lot of people are happy about it and we get an opportunity to expand the community, then great. Yeah, I'm all for that.
Yeah.
But I understand why a couple people are worried.
Mm-hmm.
It's because, like, if... it depends on the game. You know what I mean? So on one hand, take a game like Halo, which is just, even though it's also playable on PC, it's just bigger on console. Yeah. That's just the way it is. I don't know why. I can't really explain it. It's just the way it is. And then take a game like Overwatch, where there's kind of like two worlds. You're either playing on PC or you're playing on console. And if you're playing on console, like, you're kind of not taken seriously by the community. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, you're playing Overwatch on console? Oh, well, you're kind of a joke. It's like, and I think that's what people might be worried about. Because we have a very established community here in Destiny. We got a lot of great players, fun players, content creators, streamers, tournament players. Right now, they're all on console because that's where the game lives. Game, and I think they might be worried, again, just a prediction, that if it moved to PC, it would be like, oh, well, now there's a whole new world. And if you're on console, oh, sorry, you're kind of a joke because, you know, PC.
Yeah, but... it's like the PC Master Race stuff. Like, no offense to people who love playing PC and they're like, wear it on their hearts, you know, on their sleeves kind of thing. But, like, I always find when someone says, oh, PC Master Race, I always find that the joke. I always find that the kind of pathetic thing. Because if you're serious about gaming, I mean, a PC is a great thing to have. The customization, the fact that games can be a lot cheaper. You can mod a lot of games. You can see things, you know, in a higher frame rate. You can play with, you know, triple displays. There is, like, this higher level of gaming for those, like, severe connoisseurs or enthusiasts. But you're no better a gamer than someone enjoys playing on a console or on a Wii or a Game Boy. You know, it's like that doesn't take anything away from your roots or your soul of being a gamer. It just means that you've got a lot of money to spend on a hobby.
A lot of disposable income.
Yeah, like, because it is expensive. Because, I mean, PCs aren't the worst in the world. Like, here I am moaning about maybe having to buy a new PC just in case Destiny 2 does come out on PC. But, like, looking at the overheads of things that I've had to spend money on in the past, photography equipment, for one, Jesus Christ, PCs pales in comparison. But you're looking at, you know, anything from $1,500, $2,000 for something that's going to be future-proofed for the next 3 or 4 years, you know, like, it might not even last that long because it's an aggressive loop of technology advancing. Like, graphics cards come out every year, more or less now. You know, everything gets better so quickly all the time. Honestly, if Destiny 2 came out on PC and you had a bunch of hardcore Destiny 1 veterans, as long as the core mechanics of the game stayed the same, as long as the Destiny 1 vets get the hang of their controls, because it's not just easy, mouse and keyboards isn't cheating, there's a lot of stuff that you have to fine-tune, you know? There's like a whole bunch of stuff that you'll have to fine-tune in order to be able to have 100% control over your character the way you want it. So there's customization, there's preference, and then there's understanding the technical side of things as well. Mouse moving off, acceleration off, having the right kind of settings. You're going to need a third-party apps to do a lot of this stuff as well. So pitch a Destiny 1 vet who's got his control system done against a PC vet. They still don't understand all of the unique features of the game, you know, so that Destiny 1 vets are going to have a massive leg over Destiny 2 newcomers, you know, to PC. They're going to have this huge 3-year understanding because it's not Battlefield, it's not Counter-Strike, there is fuck all out on PC that's like Destiny. It's a huge, like, just PvP is massive, you know, like, it's not about primary gunplay, it's about abilities, positioning, zoning people off, you know, controlling the map and all that stuff. I mean, that exists on PC too, but there's a lot there, man, so I wouldn't worry so much about it, you know.
I think we all agree with what you're saying. It was so much information at once. No, I agree with what you're saying. I see where people like Fallout is suggesting might be worried, though. Like, some, like, I'm not worried about it, but I can see how you might be worried that it would split the community in a way that they're worried they're gonna, like, not fit in the crowd as well, or you know, like, so, like, it's gonna somehow make watching a Lupo stream, if you're a console player, fucking blows now because he doesn't play with console players and stuff like that. You know? Yeah. But yeah, I'm with you that I'm not convinced that it's going to come to PC myself.
Nothing is confirmed until it's confirmed.
Like, there's but a whole bunch.
I'd be pretty happy because as somebody wants to make content, you know, the type of crap I make, that's going to be a lot easier with more options, personally.
Yeah, the cinematics and
modding
stuff.
Of course, junk.
That's another gaming community that that gets to play the game. Right now, people who are exclusively PC gamers, they don't get to play Destiny. One of my favorite content creators and game critics is Total Biscuit. And he said a couple of times over the past few years, he would love to play Destiny, but he's not a console player. He would play it if it came to PC. And there's a lot of other people who I know in particular in the PC gaming community who are like that. You know, they just don't play console games. They play their games on their PC because it's their preferred platform. Yeah. And, you know, I get the feeling Destiny 2 is probably not coming to PC. We haven't really gotten anything to you know, insinuate otherwise. I would be happy if it did because it's just more people playing one of my favorite games.
As long as the community doesn't get divided, I'm okay with anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I just want
to be. There will be a divide.
Like, glass half full, but you're probably right.
There will be a divide, but I don't think it'll make a difference because the console community is going to be larger, hands down. There's no way overnight all of a sudden more people are going to be buying loads of PCs. Because just take a game like Battlefield. There's a website, bf1stats.com. Have a look at the difference in numbers. I mean, I know Battlefield 1 might not be the best example, but that's a AAA title from one of the leading publishers in FPS games, and you look at the figures for PlayStation 4 peak, as well as Xbox One peak, and then PC, and that is the trend that keeps repeating. The fact that a PC, I think, on peak has something like 15,000 players. On PlayStation, it's like 120,000 players. So
yeah,
PC, I can't see how such a small percentage of a possible community is going to all of a sudden take the leading forefront of the...
Yeah, that's know. That's not going to happen. The console market dwarfs the PC market
massively
when it comes to player install base. Because there's a lot of reasons, but the easiest one is, you know, the price to the price index there. It's a lot easier to just buy a console and play a game than it is to build a PC and try to play a game. And so if Destiny 2 came out to PC, I don't think it would split the community enough to really make that much of a difference. Sure, some, you know, prominent players might go over to PC, but it would be nowhere near as like, oh, the community's been cut in half, and there's half the amount of players on, say, PS4, and half that community's moved over to PC. That's probably not going to happen.
I would imagine, even if it did, most people would probably still do PC and a console just for the sake of their normal audience. Like, if you're a streamer and you're part of the community, if you normally do... carries, let's say, I don't think it would be wise to, like, if you're a guy who relies on getting some views from people looking for carries, to suddenly be like, I'm only playing on PC now, then nobody else, like, the smallest base out there are the only ones that could watch you, you know? You would want to be on the thing that has the most players as
LFG,
a streamer, you would think.
LFG for raids on PC, I mean, wow. If you didn't have really tight groups of friends, then that's going to be, that could be a potential problem, you know, like trying to find enough people to do raids with, and especially trying to do raids when there is a lull in player activity, you know, because like console, you've all, when things have been most popular, the release of Rise of Iron, release of Taken King, getting raids done is much more, you know, probable, you know, but as time goes off, it's like right now there is this resurgence.
You look at your friends list, you got like two friends on. You're like, do you guys have anybody else that I don't know on?
I just asked the Twitch chat, what would you do if Destiny 2 was on PC? Type 1 if you'd get it on PC, type 2 if you would get it on console. Seeing a lot more two for console right now.
Every
Twitter poll obviously have three characters. Yeah. Three full accounts, right? PC, PlayStation, and Xbox
obviously.
All at once.
God, kill me now.
Every Twitter poll that, like two consoles. There was a bunch of people that put these polls out, and the
Goth did one, I think.
The percentage of potential PC players. I mean, I know it's not definitive, but it gives you a taste. Yeah. You know, I mean, I have PCs. I have a PC. Sometimes still play PC games. Up until Destiny came, I was all about PC. I only ever played PC games.
Really?
Yeah.
Story
literally.
Actually has PC Master Race tattooed on his back. It's like a prison tattoo.
It's been lasered off now.
It's that PC Master Race guilt. That's where that spiel came from.
Exactly. Yeah.
But no, I played the last console games I really played were things like the first generation Halo. But when I had this 10-year break from playing games, and I got Battlefield 3 on console, but because of the injury in my hand, I couldn't play on a controller, so I built a PC again, you know. So when coming back to Destiny, I got addicted to Destiny, but could only play, you know, for short periods of time up until I got the old Zim mouse and keyboard adapter for it. So the big thing for me about PC gaming, the thing that used to infuriate me, was the amount of games that I bought that were completely broken on release. Like, I bought a Call of Duty game, and it had this bug with the mouse sensitivity. It was tied to your frame rate, and it would...
Oh, I remember that.
It was one of the worst console ports I've ever played. It had it in Ghosts. It was apparent in Advanced Warfare. In Ghosts, they never fixed it. In Advanced Warfare, they fixed it slightly, but they still didn't eliminate it. And that was the reason why you never saw it literally survive longer than 4 or 5 weeks, because people poured it on PC and it's like, well, how can I play a game when it feels like a cat is playing with my mouse cord while I'm playing? You know, so just bear that in mind. Like, what was the last successful game that Activision brought out on PC that is still alive and still has a very thriving kind of community behind it, you know. So
yeah, so if it comes out on PC, it'll probably die pretty quickly in console.
It could be a quick money grab, you know. That I don't want to like curse it or anything before it's happened, but it could be a quick cash grab. I don't know. That's a very big risk, because Destiny is a game that it relies on the future events that happen to keep it alive, you know. So it's a very confusing thing, but I am massively skeptical. I really don't think it's going to happen, to be fair.
To put a nice little bow on this, we don't know if it's coming to PC.
No, we don't.
We don't know.
We don't know.
I think it isn't.
Yeah.
I think it isn't. But yeah, customization though, cinematics, things like that, because there's a guy in Finland that has designed some amazing software for EA games and the Frostbite engine. For Battlefield, it's literally like, it's almost like a hack. He's been in contact with developers and things like that, but it is amazing. You can change the aperture and the depth of field with stuff like full roaming cameras. Ooh. You can lock cameras to gun barrels and all this kind of
mega
stuff.
Mega starts drooling.
I don't have to just like swing my sword until I get rid of my HUD and then decide between two camera angles, either standing or crouched on them, and see which one looks better, and that's it. The thought of that.
I do miss that. You know, I used to make a lot of like crazy intros for Battlefield videos, and that was so much fun doing those cinematics and stuff, and I really do miss that, you know, for Destiny. But it's getting there. The fact that we've got, you know, they're removing the HUD. All we need easier no-gun business as well. You know, having some kind of mode for taking photographs so enemies didn't shoot at you all the time while you were trying to gather cinematics. And I can just understand it's not a massive...
Forge mode. Four guys in your filming session who stand in specific spots so that the enemies don't respawn when you're trying to film a scene. All right.
Just make it like Halo.
Yeah.
Forge mode,
theater mode. Just make it like Halo.
Forge mode,
theater
mode. That's all we do. We know you know how to do this stuff, Bungie.
Yeah.
I know for a fact. You know how to make a forge mode and theater mode, right?
Copy that code, paste it into Destiny, and enter.
The coding is perfect. Don't worry. Just go to Halo 2, Halo 3, grab that coding and just paste it into Destiny. I'm sure everything software-wise will work its way out.
We are done. That's all you need to do. Obviously, you got to change all the variable names from Halo to Destiny, but after that, it'll all work. Yeah. That's the
secret. Work on those if statements.
Exactly.
That was a nice little tangent on Destiny 2, of which we know nothing about.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So to summarize, we don't know anything about Destiny 2.
It's covering
we don't
stuff
know anything about if
community.
It's coming to PC.
You know, like,
I know. It is. No,
people
I agree.
Were worried.
Just,
that was. I think the whole Destiny 2 on PC thing had caused a bit of unrest, and
definitely
not just unrest, but like the fear of things getting worse.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know, like, I mean, I apologize, you know, hijacking the podcast with that topic, you know, because something that I've been thinking about a lot, and I thought, well, maybe I should do a video on it or something like that, you know, like just putting people at ease, just coming from a PC gamer's perspective.
I think it's fair to talk about it because, I mean, is. We don't necessarily just have to break down the facts about Destiny on this podcast. I mean, we are part of the community, and that is
the
community
people.
Issue.
Yeah.
So I think that's...
I saw some incredibly skilled Destiny players worried that they were going to be like a second-rate Destiny player because they weren't going to go to PC. And it's like, no, dude, you've literally set the standard for year one. And, you know, you get used to a mouse and keyboard and you're literally going to tear people apart. You know, of course there are going to be amazing players emerging on PC if it does come out there, of course, but in no way does it negate or devalue a console gamer's validity in any way.
So Speaking of other things in Destiny, what about other stuff? What about some balance patch crap and all that that we got coming up in PvP?
Wow.
Yeah. Let's just do that.
Why don't we talk about that bullshit for a while?
all that stuff.
Bring it on.
Let's have something to talk about for a change, all right?
Let's give them some particular change, isn't it? There's a particular change that's... I mean, I'm in the same boat, but... I've done enough talking for the moment, man. The floor is yours.
Oh, the hand cannon thing?
Yeah.
Black Link?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was actually having a little Twitter discussion with Josh from Bungie.
No big deal.
About
first name basis.
Yeah. Texting each other late at night.
Yeah.
Hey, what you up to?
Yeah.
Heart, winky face. No, I was just talking because, like, a whole bunch of people were asking me about, like, what about this for the hand cannons? Like, is last word going to be affected? I'm like, I don't know. Like, why are you... So I tweeted Josh Hamrick because he's answering a lot of questions on Twitter. Mm-hmm. He's actually being very helpful.
Very responsive.
In the community. And he's
doing it
11 at night.
Yeah.
He's like... I don't think people in the community appreciate that he's, like, off the clock. And he cares this much about talking with the community. Oh. Like, if someone at my company texts me... off the cuck, I'm like,
fuck off
phone, flip it into the next room, like, don't
nobody
care.
Got time for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's like,
it's
the change.
5:01, all right? I'm going home.
I'm on my lunch break. He's like, the hand cannon range thing, it's across every hand cannon. Mm-hmm. And it's only affecting the damage fall off point. That's the only thing it is. It's like, it's not affecting. He actually tweeted me that, like, it's just going to change accuracy. And I was like, accuracy? And then, like, 15 minutes later, he was like, oh, that was a typo. And he deleted the tweet. And I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah. You can't scare me like that.
Like, so many people were flipping out. But, it's just the damage fall-off point is going to happen about 3 meters closer.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, like, the point where your shots do maximum damage... Like, you're not going to be able to do it from super far away. You're going to be able to do it from, like, a little bit closer, far away.
Yeah.
And that's it. I mean, I guess that's okay. I understand why they're doing it. Hand cannons are, like, incredible right now. If you're playing PvP for real, not for play, then you're probably using a hand cannon, depending on what game mode you're playing. If you're playing, like, PvP Legends, Farcog, Tourney, DCS, you're using a hand cannon. Maybe one person on your team, depending on the map and the game type, is using a pulse rifle for, like, team shooting. But other than that, hand cannon. If you're playing, like, Trials, then hand cannon, you have options. Maybe No Land Beyond a lot.
Maybe No Land. What are you talking about?
Maybe No Land Beyond a lot
Trials
in Trials.
This definitely. Trials.
One or two.
But I understand why they're doing it. I kind of wish that, like, they would, rather than taking the top gun and bringing it down a little bit, I kind of wish they would take the others, bring them up a little bit. You know what I mean? I kind of wish they would do that. But I understand that it's very, very difficult to do that. Really fucking hard.
I think they kind of tried to do that because they buffed auto rifles a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So instead of doing like this or like this, they went like this.
Yeah, like hopefully though,
closer.
But that's what they tried to do.
Yeah,
that's what they tried to do with the special ammo change. They're like, how about we nerf shotguns?
Yeah,
and then we make it so that you lose all special ammo when you die. And it was like, what?
That seemed like
everyone's using sidearms.
They made a huge group of changes here. It's like a little bit of change on hand cannon and a little bit of boost, as opposed to like, let's nerf shotguns and get rid of their ammo and fucking kill their mother. And then
that escalated quickly.
I understand why they're doing it. It's very, very difficult. So if
it's
they had done any more with hand cannons, I would have lit a flaming bag of poo and left it on Josh's doorstep or something. I think the 3 meter range damage fall off, I think that's probably fine. I doubt many people will notice. Hand cannons are still going to be great. You're going to want to use them, so I mean, probably not that big of a deal. But yeah, cool.
What did they do to auto rifles exactly? Because I don't
what happened.
The opposite. They pushed out damage fall off rate for auto rifles by a little bit. I'll be able to hit for max damage a little bit further out.
Didn't they change the damage? It was just the fall off.
I honestly don't remember.
I'm not sure. Actually, I know they changed the fall off for auto rifles. I don't know if they're giving them another base damage increase.
I mean,
I'd be surprised if they did that. Yeah, even
I probably have that all wrong. Maybe I dreamt after the stream. I dreamt about auto rifles.
It's a fever dream. Yeah, imagining that the hard light was going to be able to hit for like 45 precision. But when it comes to the hand cannon thing, you know, for the 22 rate of fire, 81 impact hand cannons, those best in class hand cannons. Yeah, you know, I could see this being a good change because an optimally rolled hand cannon in that class, so you got your rifle barrel, got your rangefinder, hits for max damage out to what, 30 meters?
More than that. That's 31? Like, yeah, I think it like max, I think. Yeah, I think that's right, 31-ish. I don't have the numbers memorized, but it's around low 30.
So it's going to knock that down to like 27, 28 meters, which is fine. It doesn't really affect those too much. Where I dislike this is that it's a blanket reduction across all of the hand cannon classes.
Yeah. I agree with that.
I don't like blanket anything.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
For the 22 rate of fires and like the 94 impacts, the two highest impact tiers of hand cannons, this is going to be fine because they're still going to be able to hit pretty competitive range. But for the 32 rate of fire, 68 impact hand cannons, those were already in a really bad spot, in my opinion, range-wise.
Range is really important.
Yeah, that's like the most important thing on a hand cannon. I mean, because technically those faster rate of fire hand cannons, they're capable of killing in the same number of shots as, like, say, the Iasuna and the Palindrome. You just have to land two precisions in one body shot. But the problem is, like, a lot of them come with a base range of, like, 15. I think like all the gunsmith hand cannons, all of those come with like a base range of 15 and can only max out in like the 40s, which put them at an explicit disadvantage against basically any of the top running. You know, stuff like the Iasuna, stuff like the Palindrome, shoot, even the Devil You Know. And so those were already really hurting with range, and they're getting this blanket nerf as well. I mean, that just kind of,
yeah.
When do you stop kicking the dead horse?
We'll see what happens. I'm always kind of like, Hold the fire until we actually get our hands on it. But I am a tiny bit worried, especially about the last word.
Yeah,
I think Orgun, how the mighty have fallen.
Yeah, man, because that is a shadow of its former self. And I agree. The thing that I think the unrest was why change them when they were good. They weren't overpowered. They were just best represented, like the way that they were. So just tweaking it, it's like, for me, it's the same thing as the Iron Banner reward packages at rank 3 and 5. They had the best, most positive feedback of that first Rise of Iron Banner, but they still had to drop it down a peg. It's like, you've got nothing but praise, but you've dropped it down a peg to try and make it more what exactly? Like, less fun? Why?
Yeah.
You know, like, just make the other stuff more fun. But that is a way easier said than done. So it's like, oh, we'll just make other guns more fun. And it's like, well, that could be weeks, months worth of work right there. And that's not going to be done on a game that's just about to receive its final update. Yeah. You know, so yeah. I can understand why. I don't agree with it, but I can understand why.
Sure.
Whatever. Well, Necrochasm.
That's all
that
says.
Necrochasm.
We'll have to see.
Yeah.
Speaking of, man, Necrochasm confirmed, baby.
Yep.
So yeah, that got confirmed, and a couple of things we get to learn about.
Right?
Yeah.
The explodey perk, right?
Yeah.
The explodey perk got buffed. So. Now you don't have to get a precision kill to activate the Cursed Thrall Christmas explosion. You can just it activates on any kill, which is going to make that weapon really, really fun to play with in PvE and in PvP. And additionally, we also got a confirmation that
PvP. That's a hand cannon.
Top meta native.
This is a strange hand cannon. Doesn't look right. But
it's fun though.
Yeah.
But we also got confirmation that that it'll be dropping from a quest, which is good because there were a lot of people who were asking me over the week, how exactly are you going to get Necrochasm again? Am I going to have to get a Crux? Is it just going to be a drop from New Crota? It's apparently coming from a quest. How you get that quest, I don't know. It's probably going to be beating the featured raid. That's probably what it's going to be.
Yeah.
And there's something else coming, which I'm really happy about. They're doing a weekly rotation on perks for weapons and armor that you can buy at the tower. Yeah. How cool is
Vendally,
that?
A weekly vendor reset. Yeah.
That's so 3 years.
It seems like such an obvious day one thing, but it's hilarious to me.
But I mean, better late than never. Am I right, boys?
Yeah.
And it makes sense now because they've hyped up how they're throwing so many fucking legendary marks at us right now. That yeah. It makes sense. They're trying that to give us something now. To spend them on.
That's yeah. really great. I'm yeah. super hype about that.
I just hope all of these amazing changes that have taken 3 years to develop and evolve are going to be present in Destiny 2. Like, I mean, nope. assuming that Destiny 2 is like going to have the same core. Because I can't imagine them changing the core of Destiny. They might change a whole bunch of stuff to make it a new game, but the core of the game would be the same, you know, like the,
wouldn't it be funny? So it's still gonna have broken storm callers. That's the core of this game, right?
Wouldn't it be funny if? I mean, we're all kind of sitting here nodding our heads. All stories, like, I mean, because they're not gonna change like the core. And then like Destiny yeah. 2 comes out, and it's like Mario Party with like yeah. warlocks and titans and hunters.
I'm gonna
steal your star,
game.
Mega. Yeah.
That'd be
my nightmare
awesome.
Is Destiny 2 all third person, not a first person element in it anymore. Oh, that was my nightmare. So
yeah,
yeah. Like,
I would get saltier if star stealing was a thing in Destiny 2 than I do when I lose in trial. Like getting DDoSed in trials is worse than somebody stealing your fucking star in Mario yeah. Party.
That's
Mario
questionable.
Party, yeah.
No,
friendship.
Sorry,
I meant Mario Party.
I'm throwing a red
worse.
Flag
that's
on
my,
that one, man.
I flipped my
Mario
words.
Party 2 and 3.
Yes. That was
some
flip.
Dick always lands on flip. The hey, steal this yeah. other random player's stars, yeah. like yes. all of them. I work for those no. stars, man.
It's
come on, what do you mean?
But I paid 50 coins to Boo
place.
For it, baby. So your star is mine now.
Yeah. Oh fuck. Okay. Sorry. Yeah. I agree. The third person would suck. That'd be crazy. They wouldn't do that.
Yeah. That's my
really,
nightmare.
You know, really? I don't think third person would be too bad in Destiny. I always thought that'd be great if they had like a separate game mode. Where you could just be in third person because you actually get a little bit of that in
yeah.
the
it's
that one Crota story mission
yeah, that
where
one
you're going
mission,
to take
yeah.
his where you're going mm-hmm. to suck in his soul and you can actually fire at things in third person. It's pretty interesting. I like going around through that mission and doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want the entire game to be third person, no. but I always thought you know a third person mode would be interesting in Destiny.
It changes the combat. I think this is like
it does
like FPS is. I think the reason why it's so popular is because it's like the immersion factor. When you can fracture, I can't peppermint. I'm drunk on peppermint tea. You can on PC they called it third person view whoring. You know when like in DayZ you could literally look around the corner before
around corners
without exposing yourself. You can do that in Destiny, but it takes a moment to switch back and forth. This is Cammy's.
Do an emote.
You know, Cammy's way of using a sword hilt. And sticking people, you know, like it's crazy how we can stick people with that. Like he switches back and forth like a it's like a combat technique, a tactic. But it's not as easy as something like DayZ or Warframe or anything. Well, Warframe's permanent fucking, you know, permanent third person. But it changes the game. First person, I think, is where it's at.
Man. I think I just get so grossed out at the idea of third person Destiny because I really think the game looks bad in third person. That's just like
really
the animation on the characters when they jump, it looks silly in third person. Yeah. I don't know what it is. Only like if you're in the tower and you jump, it really bothers me. This is one of my nitpicks in Destiny. When you jump, it's the same jump animation no matter what. If your left foot's forward, if your right foot's forward, no matter how far you are in the step, you're just in the air with the same jump pose. And it's the tiniest little nitpick, but every time I jump, it's all I look at when I'm in the tower.
It's like the NES Mario
unplayable.
Jump. Yeah, literally unplayable. Hold on.
The only thing that I really like about it in Destiny is the field of view. There you go.
And yes, Mario. That's what you look like in Destiny when you jump in third person.
You do.
The field of view changes that in third person in Destiny. It's like, oh my God, imagine the first person with this just slightly wider field of view. Because that's been a gripe of mine since playing Destiny from the get-go is how narrow is this? You know, like when you play other games, it's literally, my guess is around a 45-50 degree field of view, which is probably the narrowest field of view I've ever stuck.
I'd like it to be a lot wider.
Yeah, like 75. I'm on PC, you can have crazy 90 degrees or 120 degrees. It looks like you're running around with a fisheye on your head. It looks horrible. Like for I can imagine the developers are like, "Ew, stop fucking our game," you know. But like, it gives you. Some people seem to think that it gives you a massive advantage using like 120 degrees because you've got this peripheral vision of a fish or a bird, you know.
But a horse.
The problem that I had with it, and a lot of like PC players have, that it makes really like close things seem really far away. So in Battlefield 3, when I had a 90-degree field of view, I got knifed so easily because I thought, that guy's miles away, and it's like, he's not. He's in your face. So I changed mine to a 75-degree field of view.
Objects in field of view are closer than they appear.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so like, when you switch to your sword or your emote in Destiny, I'm like, oh, please. Please, could we have a wider field of view for Destiny 2? I want to be able to see out the corner of my eye someone standing right next to me. You know,
but story, my cinematic vision.
Yeah,
that's, isn't that the usual excuse?
The human no, that's eyes frame rate. See 50-degree field of view.
Yeah, that's the frame rate. That, yeah. I've got an argument killer for anyone who says the human eye can only see in 20 frames a second.
Like, kill it no, right now.
All you
kill
need
them.
To do,
murder them on stream.
Yeah, open up a Google tab and type in the words shutter angles, and then read everything that you come across. And then you will be realizing I am peddling bullshit and I need to stop now. There you go. Shutter angles. Shutter angles.
My argument Google is it. Look at how bad The Hobbit looked when it was filmed in 48 frames per second. There's a difference.
Yeah.
There's a difference. You can see it. Oh, okay. All right. Are we, what? Is that,
yeah.
Are we questions time? I just realized we're like
sure.
an hour
I mean,
into this thing.
Yeah, well, either way, I think people are going to be really happy on Tuesday. We got a lot of neat stuff coming.
Yeah.
Either
yes.
if you're interested in PvP, we got those changes coming out. If you're interested in PvE, you got a whole bunch of crap to keep you busy with for a while. And I'm looking forward to it. I think we all are. It's a fun time to be here at the end of D1.
Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited.
Away.
For this Fallout Plays kid to stop messaging me, hey, what are you doing? Do you want to play? Because there'll be something else for him to do in the game, finally.
Right.
Finally, no more fanboys bothering me all the time. They'll entertain themselves.
You are my favorite person, goddammit. Fucking nothing you can do about it.
Spamming the messages, Mega. Come raid. Let's play raid.
Of course.
Raid, please.
Is there raid?
Are you going to do a raid today? Yeah. Yes.
Let's just
oh my god. I just signed on earlier today to record some stuff for a video I'm making, and I go over to my messages, and there's a message from Meg. Because, oh my god, are you the real Fallout Plays? I wrote, how did you get this number?
I informed him I did find it in a bathroom stall, written
correct.
By
confirmed.
For a good time message.
All Fallout Frizzle. All so right. what's going to be the first thing everybody does when Age of Triumph comes out?
Raiden.
We out here, Raiden.
You two Fallout?
Why the hell not?
Gotta get that gear, baby.
When in Rome.
I'm looking forward to it, too. I won't get to Raiden until later in the night. I'll probably get on before then, though, so I don't know. Maybe I'll do a Nightfall, get that Bernie head before the raid or something.
I'm down with that.
Yeah.
I'd love to be able to, you know, say raid, but realistically, I'm probably just going to be hopping from vendor to vendor to look at all the sweet new gear
okay,
that we're going to have there. I am so happy that's on a, I'm simultaneously happy and stressed out that's on a weekly reset now.
I was going to say, that's good for you guys and bad, because now you probably have to make videos reviewing the rolls on the guns every single week.
It's awesome because there's going to be different rolls every week, but it sucks because it like quadruples my editing time for the weekly reset vid.
Yeah. Mm. Well,
a lot of
we
work.
Can share,
so much
like,
to do.
We'll have to be on standby. Like, I doubt that I will be raiding on Tuesday night. I'm on standby for whatever videos need to be made, I guess.
Good man.
You know.
Look at that. I won't be. Fuck your videos. I'm going to be raiding. I don't care about that.
Got to get that crow to gear, man.
I got responsibilities,
Lord.
Boy. That ain't my problem.
Yes. So, have we covered Age of Triumph, the Destiny 2 leak, the PC shenanigans and shizzle?
I think we're good.
I think we have
the
thoroughly
updates,
covered it.
The hotfix.
Right on.
Let's do questions.
Okay. Like all things, I think we've talked about it way more than we need to, and everyone's tired of hearing us. Let's answer some questions.
Well done.
You're not wrong.
This is a question from someone called Story something or other. For Mega, what color is your underwear?
Hmm. Oh, Lord, it's happening. We're about to get so many unfollows.
PD after
right
dark,
now.
Baby.
Oh,
yeah.
It's
a lovely shade of gray.
Gray.
And a little bit
slate
brown in
gray.
The back.
Military issue.
How loose is your underwear, bro? You pulled that up like a full foot without any tension. Like you got a.
Did you chafe your vagina
underwear?
Doing that?
No, 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 no. Listen,
yeah, what's
listen,
going on here?
Boys.
You got like
listen,
a hammock in between your legs right now.
These
How much fabric is down there?
These are underwear from like 50 pounds ago, Mega. All right? Laundry day. So
oh,
these are old fat leftover underwear. All right,
so
yeah.
Healthy.
They are
I
very
exercise. Fucking yeah. Think you're better than me.
Well, I
you
don't think
son
I'm
of a bitch.
Look. Yeah. Yes, Paul, I'm better than you. A man who once thought about eating flaming hot Cheetos he found on the ground. I'm better than
thought
you.
Thought about and thought didn't about. Immediately do.
No, I know. They were yeah. Still in the bag.
What's
all
to
right?
Think about?
Move on.
That's fine.
Next question.
Next
question.
Roll
it. Okay. I got one here.
Do
from
it, do
Bipolar
it.
Bloodlust. I happen to know that guy.
Yep, so do I.
What should D2 trials be in order to give new players a chance? That's an interesting question. I don't think that anything, if they were to bring, I mean, it depends on how much of D2 is like D1. You know what I mean? We're all kind of assuming same fundamentals,
yeah.
Same core. If it is, I think they should keep it the same. I know it's really tough. I know it's really tough for people who haven't gone yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think that like anyone can do it. Anyone can go. It just takes time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It would be like kind of. I'm on one hand, I would be much happier if like a lot of people could go flawless more frequently. I think it would be great because I know that so many people are hyped about doing it. But at the same time, like on the other hand, like I kind of. Don't want to water it down. And yeah. I mean, maybe I shouldn't be the one talking about that because it's like I've been flawless, you know, I help people go. So
yeah.
Maybe it'd be better to hear from somebody who has never gone. I mean, everyone here on the podcast has gone flawless, but so it's just take my opinion with a grain of salt as you always goddamn should. But yeah. I think it should be left the same. I think you can get there.
I really think that, I mean, as somebody who could obviously never go flawless right now without a ton of help and a ton of practice, like, I agree, basically. Like, I feel like the core mechanics of the game type are, like, they're great how they are right now. And I know it sucks to lose and not go flawless, but it's also a lot of fun to have that. Like, for me, I don't even feel like I've really... like been flawless because it's mostly just me going like herder fallout look at me say dumb things while you carry me. It's not like me doing anything but like when I play with like my friends and we're actually like focused and trying together and like if even when we get to like 7 wins and it's starting to get like close, you know, I'm like oh shit, like oh the feeling is great right
pressure
now and
comes
when we
on,
lose,
yeah.
When we lose it sucks but it's also like it feels awesome at the same time, the pressure of the game type. And I don't want it to become like way easier or something like that. Like I like having something to chase in the game that feels almost impossible, but will be
it's
incredibly
like, it's
satisfying.
Special, you know what I mean? And again, I understand it. It totally sucks if like you haven't gone there. I really feel it. That's why I try to help people go. Cause I really feel for people who try and haven't gotten there yet. But I think it makes it that much more special, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
That like it is quite difficult for the average player, I suppose, to go 9-0 and make it happen. And that's why when people finally get there, and like they just go crazy because it's like it's so fun and like rewarding. You know what I mean?
To me, trials, a big problem I have with modern games in general is that they're all what I know 100% with the fact any game I pop in, generally I'm going to beat it and I'm going to see everything. Mm-hmm. Whereas when I was younger, I played a lot of like NES games, and those games were like, I could play this for 20 years and maybe never fucking beat it, you know? And Trials is like the modern equivalent of that, where it's really hard. Yeah, like I beat Ninja Gaiden on NES, and that was like the hypest moment when I finally did it, because that's so hard, and that's what Trials is in Destiny. It's like, I don't want to say that like it like tough shit. You don't always get to have everything in the game. You don't get to experience it, but that's kind of what it is. Like it is what it is. You've got to just keep trying and you'll
get
there.
I got one idea to make trials easier that would actually not damage anybody at all, and that would be a ranked playlist, so you can play against people that you're likely to encounter on the last 4 3 five games at the end of the trials card, for example, because I think that's one of the biggest problems that people have about going flawless is the lack of exposure that they have in general Crucible to really good players, because you're always playing players again in your skill bracket. You don't, very rarely do you get to go outside of that skill bracket zone, because it's very strict and very aggressive on the skill-based matchmaking. And it, you have this evolutionary. We do have ranked and unranked like systems in Destiny, but they're evolutionary. They evolve on your performance. So if you start playing really well, you'll move up the ladder and you'll have more exposure to those higher skill players. However, if you just want to get straight on in there and play against really good players, you can't do that in Destiny PvP at the moment, unless you're on a 6th, 7th, 8th win on Trials. So what would make things easier is having exposure to those, that kind of skill level at the get-go. And I think having a ranked playlist would really help in that respect.
Even though I partially disagree, I respect hearing an opinion from a very well-spoken Destiny player who might not have the same perspective of my own. I think it's important to have multiple viewpoints on a podcast. So well put, Story. Well put.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can agree with a bit of that, especially, you know, I've advocated for a ranked PvP playlist ever since Destiny came out. I don't specifically think that it should be like that in Trials. I think the current system they have of, I think a ranked playlist should be separate from Trials.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't specifically think they should be making Trials easier, because if it's coming back in Destiny 2, it's probably going to be the in-game PvP.
When I say,
but I definitely understand what you mean.
Yeah, when I say easier, I don't mean that to make Trials, leave Trials as is. It needs to be that way. But what would train people better to deal with
to
that
be a playlist
is having a playlist in general Crucible gameplay that literally would put you up against people that are better than you. Because the biggest advice from any really good player is you've got to play against good players.
You got to play better people.
And that's why going flawless is so difficult, is because when you play general Crucible, you don't have access to very good players. You're playing within your skill set.
Not always.
And that's why it's a massive culture shock, you know, when you go...
Really interesting, crazy idea. Top of my head right now. Might be a bad idea.
Probably
Lord
is.
Knows I have this.
Bring them, man.
But,
let's hear it.
What if there was some kind? Because I'm just thinking of Story talking about, like, because the way to improve is to put yourself against people who are really, really good. Mm-hmm. What if there was some kind of playlist where you could go in and there's two options that you could pick? One's like, I mean, this is like the layman's version. It's like, I want to learn, I want to teach. And the I want to learn version is you go into matchmaking fully knowing that you are signing your name on the dotted line that you are going to get put up against a team of people who are ranked better than you are.
The sweats.
And on the other end of the spectrum, you could be like, I want to teach. And then you're going in being like, I know that I'm going into a game where I'm going to play people lower than me on the ELO whatever spectrum.
I'm just imagining the bags I'm going to get from the dudes who go in there. Like, I want to teach.
I mean, there could be. What I'm thinking, there could be a lot of people going in like, "Oh, I'm gonna teach,
I'm gonna
baby.
Wreck the fuck out of these scrubs."
You could do it all in private matches, but like having something that's a bit more accessible for people.
But it's hard to find people.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's hard to find people.
Do that sort of thing.
You have to set up.
That's just my crazy idea.
If I didn't have a YouTube channel and like I wasn't on this podcast, I would definitely never be able to find like sweaty good people to play with to try to teach me how to play. I feel like
it's hard,
so,
man. And it's
it
fun
hard, but
you know
it
when
it's kind of cool to have it automated in a way
someone
like
in the
that,
chat right away that is a horrible idea. I would sign up to get wrecked, dude.
Yeah,
there are people higher than me. I go in and I sweat with people who are practicing to play in DCS. I love playing with people who are better than me, truly. Mm-hmm. And even though I get pissed off and I get fucking salty when I'm playing, when it's all said and done, I'm like, you know what? Good fucking game, dude. Like, you played damn well. Mm-hmm. It was really intense. I had a good time. I'm telling you, I'm not making this shit up. I love playing against people who are really, really good.
It's how you grow, man.
Yeah, it's how
you
stay sharp.
I've never been a fan of this moving goalposts thing. Like, the sympathy wins that you get. Like, you've had a bad run, so if you're playing Crucible on your own, you've had a bad run, so it drops the skill level of your opponents for matchmaking, and so you get an easy win. It's like, oh, come on, man.
And then it goes the opposite way, too, where you've had a bunch of wins, and then the game is just like, okay, let me break up this fire team and throw you into a match that's two kills away from being an L for you.
Yeah.
That happens all the time
and
right now.
Give you teammates.
Not a fan of that system.
Give you teammates that have a far lesser skill. Like, as that really, true skill-based matchmaking would be teams of equal stuff going together, but that there's this evolutionary thing just doesn't really work, and I think that what they tried to do, and that this is just my opinion, call me a conspiracy theorist or whatever, what they tried to do was have ranked and unranked as an evolutionary thing rather than divide.
In one playlist.
Because there is that worry that if you had unranked, people would only play that because they just want to scrub-a-dub
That's
people all the time.
Proven false, though.
It's, I mean, it's good and bad at the same time, you know? Yeah. On Halo 2, I used to play Halo 2 a lot. It was great. Because if you wanted, like, if you know you wanted a game where it was going to be really competitive, you're going to get a real challenge. You go into ranked. And I mean, if you wanted to just goof around, you went into, I think they called it team training, is what they called it. And I mean, of course, you do get groups of people in there pub stomping, but I mean, there's never really anything that you're going to do to it. I mean, like, if you're, if you're bad, and I don't mean that as like an insulting way, like, if you're new to the game, you're not that great, you're like, I want to improve, you'd probably be better off in the ranked playlist because you're going to be fighting people at your level. Whereas if you go into team training, you always have the opportunity of running into like, well, look what we have here.
Oh my god, it's the ogres.
So yeah, I'd love it if that were an option in Destiny 2 to kind of tie it back to the original question with trials, because I think the ultimate goal there shouldn't be to make trials easier, but to make it more fun and more rewarding.
Yeah.
And I think a good way to do that is what's basically going to be happening in Age of Triumph, where now you'll be able to get year 3 rewards from the bounties in trials. You don't need to go flawless to complete all the bounties for trials. Now you'll be able to get great gear, that year 3 gear, from just completing the bounties. And when it comes to Destiny 2, whatever the in-game PvP activity is going to be, I hope that it would just continue the trend of being rewarding, not just for people who go flawless every single week, but for people, you know, who play the game mode and get those bounties and those quest lines done.
Absolutely.
Yeah, give us a ranked playlist. Come on, just do it. Just do it.
Don't, works well don't in just do it. I don't want everyone to see how low my rank is. Don't do it.
Still go in there.
I'm just kidding. No,
ranked
playlists
work in almost all of the
in.
FPS games they're put in. Look at Overwatch. The ranked playlist is great in that. Call of Duty, the ranked playlist works in that.
You think this scrub wasn't in the Halo 2 ranked playlist every single day when that game was out? All right, I don't give a shit about my rank. I was a solid rank 34. That was my peak in Halo 2, all right? I was in there every day, though. I had two rank 34 accounts so that one would never get lower than the other. I always had to have one that was at least like a 34, you know, like I couldn't go below that.
Yeah.
That's great. Those are my days.
I got another interesting question on the subject of trials from Beard Monstar. I've heard this question come up before, and I think it's kind of interesting. Do you think trials will exist in D2? Like,
yes,
I've heard
no.
this being talked about on Twitter a whole bunch. People are, like, convinced, like, yeah, there's going to be no trials in D2. I'm like, where are you hearing this
that
from?
Would
like,
be
I don't
insane.
Know why this rumor is going around. I mean, like,
mean
first
like
of all,
the game mode of PvP.
Let's just get rid of the most popular Crucible game
why,
mode.
I don't understand where these rumors come from. And if there's a source, tweet
I'd
it at me, please.
It.
I would love to read it. Like, because, like,
philosophy.
I've heard this from multiple people.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah. When they put trials into the game, it changed the game.
Yeah.
Like the Twitch top broadcaster every weekend since it came out has been trials. Like it just completely changed how the game operates. And it gives like this really, it's amazing to me that a game type has gone this hard for this long. That's what she said. And it's like amazing. Why would they not put that in D2? Why would they leave that out?
Oh,
why?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like, why would they not have raids? Raids and trials put Destiny on the map. You know, that's really the two key things about Destiny that resound across the whole video game world. Those are the vibrations, trials and raids, you know. Why would it not have them? It might not be called Trials of Osiris, but there will be a end game weekly, weekend based PvP activity that teams versus teams. It might not be elimination, but it's going to be something similar. They'd be crazy not to have that. Yeah.
Yeah. It might not be called Trials of Osiris, but it'll be the same basic game mode coming back. There's no way Bungie is getting rid of literally the most popular PvP mode in this game. Fallout's absolutely right. This and, you know, like the raids are what put Destiny on the map. It's what every single weekend shoots Destiny into the top 10 on Twitch. And yeah, there's no way they're getting rid of Trials. The spirit of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Cool.
Oh, yeah.
Next question.
Next Q.
All right, I got A's. I want to show my A's.
You got A's? Okay.
I got A's. I need Q's.
Most of the questions I'm reading, we already answered earlier in the podcast. Oh, here's... Okay. Fiery Falcon. Why do so many guys have girl characters? I don't know. I mean,
somebody asked me that on
stream
today.
Why the fuck not? Who cares?
Because I want to look at girl butts when I have my sword out instead of dude butts. I don't know.
Sure.
What the fuck? Why not? Because girls can be badass, and sometimes I want to role play the other option. I wanted
variety. I didn't want to have every character be the same. You know what I mean? Like, I had an exo titan. I was like, that's cool. I mean, like a human hunter. All right, might as well have a woken chick warlock.
Exactly.
Like, why not?
Because they want to. You know, when I think of a question like this, it reminds me of one of the main developers behind Nier Automata, Yoko Taro. He was asked why he designs female protagonists all the time, and he said, "I like girls."
Yeah, and
that's the response. You can do whatever you want. That's why.
It's just funny. Yeah, somebody kept bringing that up in stream with me this week. Like, they were like, "Well, but why make a girl character?" I'm like, "I'm fucking because
why
not?
I want to.
Why not?
I can't create. I looked at the male create a character options. I thought they sucked. I was like, this girl looks cool.
Beard.
I'm gonna make this girl.
Yeah, and like I was just talking because I was looking at my warlock on stream, and I was like, my warlock is like a good looking character. I like the way my warlock looks. And someone's like, that's a weird Fallout. Like, it's weird, cringy. I'm like, I don't have like a waifu body pillow in my bedroom. Like, I'm just like,
this is as far as we know.
I like my character. I like the design of all of my characters.
You make Anodyne dress up like your character in Destiny. It's
like, I like the way my Exo Titan looks too. That isn't like a cringy, weird thing. I mean, I fucking hope it's not a cringy, weird thing to say, but I don't know.
It's
weird.
Attracted
it's even if it is, it doesn't matter. It's what you
I don't
want
give
to
a
make,
shit.
You
know? I like it. Right? Whatever. Who cares?
Exactly. Fuck 'em. You can like your character if you want. I agree.
There you go.
All right. Do we have any other questions? Are we going to talk about waifus some more? Because I can talk about waifus.
Well, we're close to time, so maybe we've got
one more Q&A. NPC would be your waifu, guys? I choose Aeris Morn.
I don't know who
choice.
Else to pick.
I just... goodness. This is riveting podcast audio right now.
I know, this is top
anytime
tier.
There's a lull in silence,
this
we need to have a book that TBL can just read so that it stays interesting. Like, just his voice running in the background. That's what we need.
Just reading grocery lists. I can do that.
Oh, there it is. Oh, tell me what kind of detergent you buy, TBL. Tell me how you keep those shirts so crisp.
We roll with that fresh Tide.
Pine fresh.
Damn. It's like a Tide
Pine
downstairs
fresh.
Is coming in when I hear that voice.
Summer
boy.
Breeze.
Now we got to relate it to Destiny. It's new morning dreg. From time. I've got one. I mean, this is kind of one we talked about a little bit earlier.
All right, this
is
thank God.
This comes from
God.
We Are
Save
Stradium.
This podcast.
Do you think Destiny 2 will have spectator modes for capping unique angles and for better tournament casting? Now, we talked about that a little bit earlier in some of the things we'd like to see, but I'd like to expand on it because I think it could really have potential. Bungie spoke quite a bit about, you know, wanting to kind of let the tournament scene enhance itself. And having a spectator mode specifically for tournament casting, I think, would be a really great addition. We already set up our own tournaments in Destiny now, and that sort of overhanging camera mode, I think, would be great. I'd love that.
I agree. Yeah. I more believe that that's coming than I believe like a theater mode, like a spectator mode for tournaments and streams specifically in a game that's kind of big with streaming right now or is getting bigger, you know? Like,
and that's all you need for theater mode is spectator mode in private matches. I mean, obviously not having access to the PvE activities, that's a bit different, but that would be for machinimas and cinematics and things like that, as well as the shoutcasting for tournaments. And that would be a very simple addition because a lot of people misunderstand, oh, why do we need a theater mode? Why do we need developers to do spectator modes and things like that? It's because it really does enhance the game. And coverage on the game.
Yeah, exactly. It helps them sell more copies because people can present it more easily. So it's a thing that's definitely worth implementing and probably not that hard. So many games have already done it. I
spectator
can't
imagine. Mode in private matches for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do it. Do it, Bungie. It's do good. Our bidding.
Do it, please.
Make it happen.
So that'd be it then. Yeah. That'd be 1-1-4 in the bag. And
I'm so glad he hasn't been here for this shit show. I'm telling you, we're falling apart without him.
I wouldn't be losing this.
We're going to drag him back.
That guy
hobnobbing with celebs and downing beers with the.
You guys are the real celebs. Yeah. You're the real treasures. Aww. I love you.
Aww. That's sweet of you. I don't believe you.
Okay. Link, do you want to do us another one of those beautiful, smooth, buttery outros?
Well, right on. Well, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This has been the Planet Destiny Podcast, episode 114. We are just 2 days away, from the drop of the Age of Triumph. It's promising to be a very great send-off for Destiny 1. And I know, me personally, I can't wait to get my hands on it. But before we get on out of here, we're going to do a bit of a roundtable. We're actually going to do the plugging this week, guys. Okay. So remember where your links are. Story Mephorshine, where can they find you? What have you got coming up this week?
Well, we're going to have lots of raiding fun. So stay tuned for raiding weapons fun and funny videos on raiding weapons for me, for sure. And you can look for those on the Planet Destiny page. That's where that's going to be. So,
boom, boom.
Fallout, how about yourself?
You can find me on YouTube at youtube.com/falloutplays. Same thing on Twitch, twitch.tv/falloutplays. And lately I've been doing a whole bunch of trials carry streams where we're trying to take virgin only people, aka never been flawless before, trying to take those folks to the lighthouse. We've been really successful lately, having a damn good time. We took a kid who was 360 light level with no microphone the other day, who never got flawless before. That was really fun. And check me out there. Fun content as always. Mega, how about you?
Find me at youtube.com/huskyraid, or lately I've been streaming every day. Every single day last week at twitch.tv/husky_raid. We've been having really successful streams where we try to stream snipe Fallout while he streams.
How does that go?
It didn't work. I actually did do it though. Yesterday I was legitimately, I pulled up your stream just to try to match with you.
So funny.
I was like, I know he'd destroy us, and I really just wanted it to have the goofy reaction because I knew you were the virgin carries anyway.
What's the end game there? So you get into a game with them, and then what happens? You get destroyed?
Why does the dog chase the car? I get one kill on Fallout. I clip it. I bag him. I bag the shit out of him, and then I quit out of the game.
And then send him that GG message afterwards.
Exactly. That's all I want to do. All right, TBL, where do we find you, you beautiful bastard?
Right on, ladies and gentlemen. You can find me all over the internet. Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube, all at The Black Link. This week's going to be a very busy week for me because, of course, with the Age of Triumph coming, that's going to be a bunch of new content that we have to make guides for on the Planet Destiny channel. So the first you'll be seeing of me is probably going to be early Tuesday morning with the weekly reset guide, which is going to include some all-new weapon rolls from some vendors. Very excited for that, and also very much dreading all the extra work that's going to be. Mm-hmm. After that, we'll be streaming on the PD channel Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, starting at 11 a.m. Eastern time. Tuesday, we're going to be doing Crotozen. Still working on getting some fire team members together for that. Looks like we might actually have a couple of special guests running for that if the schedules line up. But that should be fun. It's going to be a great week in the world of Destiny, and I cannot wait to get my hands on the Age of Triumph. It's going to be a good time. But all right, Guardians, this has been episode 114 of the Planet Destiny Podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll catch you guys next week, same time, same place, in the Aegis Triumphi. Stay frosty, Guardians.